and many of you have a full day today, and for some of you, that's even an understatement. I'm committed to being especially brief in my remarks. Don't get used to it. All right? But I am asking every one of you, if I'm going to be brief, you be especially attentive, please. I remember, I think it was my second grade teacher, Miss Moat, who actually found me on Facebook the other day. How about that? I heard from my second grade teacher. Yeah, I don't think she remembered much good about me, but that's another matter. So, when Miss Moat really wanted our attention, she'd say to us, now, put your thinking caps on, right? And we'd all do this and adjust these imaginary caps in our minds. And all she meant, of course, was that I need your attention. I need you. Make sure you're with me. And that's all I'm asking of you for the next 20 minutes. Can you believe that? Is there a prize for me if I do it? Yeah, I get to go home early like the rest of you. All right. All right. Here's my premise. Here's what you got to know. It's wrong to ever stop learning. I'm going to look this direction. It's wrong to ever stop learning. And I suspect that somebody's going to challenge me for stating my premise negatively. Be positive, Pastor Kent. All right, I am positive. It's wrong to ever stop learning, all right? Oh, you mean state it in the positive. Okay, it's right to never stop learning. And I confess to being a bit conflicted, actually, as I make that the premise for the few minutes we'll have together, because it seems a little bit removed, or maybe a long ways removed, from the most important things I could ever tell you and the reason we're together anyway. You know, that Jesus loves you and that your life is broken without Him, broken because of your sin against Him, and that you could spend your whole life learning, but if you were to never learn how the redemptive love of God gets expressed to us through Jesus Christ and His life and His death and His resurrection, then all of your other learning isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. I get it that the most important thing we can ever say when we get together is that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. But it does occur to me that one reason some people have not come yet to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is simply because they did stop learning at some point. The age of 15 or 20 or 25 or 30, they came to a conclusion about how things are, about how life is, and that conclusion didn't include Jesus as resurrected, reigning, returning King, and they'll never come to any other conclusion because they've closed the book on how things are. They've stopped learning, and you couldn't get them to believe anything new if you tried to pry it in with a crowbar. Friend, it's wrong to ever stop learning. And it also occurs to me that one reason at least some other people who haven't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ may not do so is not because they've stopped learning, but because we stopped learning. Yeah, I'll wait for all the shouting to die down on that one, right? Because we've drawn our conclusions. You know, we know what a Christian looks like, and we know, the rules that all good Christians live by, and we know the words and the phrases and the language and the thoughts by which we discuss and express Christian concepts, and this is as far as our understanding of Christianity goes, and it stops there, and because our understanding of our Christian faith grew stagnant, our ability to explain it and declare it and express it with life and conviction has grown stagnant as well. It's wrong to ever stop learning. The world we live in understands that. So many changes happening every day, and this explosion of information that continually marks our world, and every successful person our world knows, every successful person will be one who has committed to a lifetime of learning. Smart businesses and employers and leaders understand it. They make sure that learning remains a part of their lives and even the lives of their employees and the lives of their customers and their clients. Have I mentioned it's wrong to ever stop learning? And I do suspect that one of the primary emotions among graduates today is one of relief After today, I'll never have to pick up a book again. At least not till this fall when I start college maybe or something like that. But my friend, you do. You must. You cannot lay aside the opportunity to continue to pursue what it means to be a learner even at the conclusion of your formal education. By definition, if you are a disciple, you are a learner because at its core, that's what the word disciple means. The Greek word mathetes, the word we translate into the New Testament as disciple, has at its roots the Greek word math. Now, that's where we get our English abbreviation math or the English word mathematics from. But in the Greek, math is a word that describes the mental effort needed to think something through. By extension, then, a mathetes, a disciple, is most properly someone who thinks things through and is continually coming to a better knowledge of who God is and what He's doing in the world. A disciple is a learner. And so, for what it's worth, what I'm saying this morning, this challenge that we can never give up the habit of intentional learning, is not just for those who might be graduating today or being promoted this week, but guess what? It's for every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. It is wrong to ever stop learning. Never ever stop, or as Proverbs says, get wisdom, get understanding. Though it costs you how much? All you have. And if you're sending your kids to college, you'd say, though it costs you all you have, get understanding, cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Those words come from some of the introductory verses that introduce Proverbs, where the author of Proverbs, who's traditionally believed to be Israel's King Solomon, is simply setting the foundation for the reasons that the wisdom he is about to share is so significant. And in Proverbs chapter 4, and in other places in Proverbs, wisdom is personified. That's a word you all remember from your English lit class, right? It's a literary technique. Wisdom is given human-like qualities, as if wisdom were a person. In this case, wisdom was a woman. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. And I want to just read a little bit more of this passage, because as the passage begins, the author of Proverbs writes as a father speaking to his son, encouraging him in the pursuit of wisdom. And here's what he says: listen, my sons. Seems like we heard that a week or two ago. Linda, you're not listening to me. Listen. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me. And he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Friends, the fact is that the challenge toward a lifetime of learning is not an idea that was birthed out of the unique circumstances of the 21st century. Rather, it is an idea that is rooted in eternity itself, birthed from the heart of God Himself. It's an idea, I think this is significant. It's an idea that was fundamental as God delivers the Hebrew people out of Egyptian slavery and begins to establish them as that people from whom the Messiah, our Redeemer, would come It was an idea fundamental to the culture that God sought to establish in that people, in His people, the Israelites. He made it the biblical responsibility in that case of parents to initiate this habit of lifetime learning in their own children, even as they committed to a lifetime of learning themselves. In shaping this people towards His purposes, God says to the Israelites, "These commandments that I give you today are to be up on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." That sounds like a lot of conversational learning, if you ask me. "Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Parents were to always be engaged in instructional conversation with their children and engaged in lifetime learning themselves. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses." And it wasn't just for the kids. It was for every person. It was to be a culture where God thoughts were always being pursued. Somewhere along the way here, I need to say that God thoughts, pondering the things of God and the works of God, is not limited to those kinds of thoughts we generally think of as spiritual thoughts. Properly understood, when a biologist is busy studying the reproductive habits of some bug from the rainforest, he is considering the work of God's hands. What did we talk about last Sunday? When God is preparing Joshua, a fully grown man, a man who's learned from and led with already the best. I mean, he was Moses' top aide. When God is preparing Joshua to lead the Israelites in the conquest of Canaan, He doesn't say, "Now you know all you need to know because you've learned it, you've earned it, you've got this diploma, you've got this degree." He says what? He says, "Keep this book of the law always," everybody say always, "on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Joshua, be a lifetime learner. Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to be successful? Always be thinking. Always be learning. The Apostle Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, and Paul has left Timothy in charge of a local church, in charge of a local congregation. And he says to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will do what? Also be qualified to teach others." You make sure, Timothy, that you are building a culture of learning in that congregation I've entrusted you with. Make sure you're instructing godly leaders who are also passing on their wisdom to others. What is called for here, my friends, is a lifetime of learning and growth and progress in discipleship, in learning of God. Let's get to my text. Because there's another verse in 2 Timothy that provides for me my favorite image with regard to a lifetime commitment to intellectual and spiritual growth. Let me remind you that 2 Timothy, what we call 2 Timothy, is actually a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, and is very likely Paul's last letter. He knows this as he writes it. Because as he writes this letter, he is scheduled for execution any day. He's on death row because of his testimony for Christ. It's in this letter that Paul says, and in this context, knowing that he's facing execution, that Paul says these familiar words: "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And still, hear me, disciples. Hear me, learners, still in his twilight moments, perhaps to be ushered himself into eternity before Timothy even receives the letter that he is writing, still near the end of the letter, he makes this remarkable request of Timothy. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Bring the coat I left behind. And oh yeah, bring my books. Bring my study resources. Bring my copies of the scriptures. Bring my notes. I know I'm on death row. I know my departure, my death is imminent. I know they're sharpening the blade, as it were. And at any moment, I could be transported from this cell to the executioner's quarters. But I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting down. I don't yet know everything Jesus may choose to do with my life. So I'm not giving up. Instead, I'm continuing to grow up into Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to keep on reading. I've got to keep on thinking. I've got to keep on learning. I've got to keep on expanding my understanding of who God is and what He's up to in my world. Perhaps, my friend, perhaps when you know more about who God is and the depth and breadth of what He is doing in this, His world, when you know more about that than the Apostle Paul did at the end of his earthly life, perhaps at that point you can put aside learning, but not until. And I don't want to disappoint you, but none of you have gotten there yet. Just saying. Maybe this is an amen opportunity for some of you. You can tell me that school was never your thing. You know, that you don't like to read or you don't like to learn easily or lay out some other excuse for your unwillingness to continue to grow in your understanding. I'll just tell you that I cannot think of any age, I cannot think of any era in which your excuses could possibly sound punier. Every one of us has more learning resources available to us in a greater variety of formats than any generation before us could possibly even have imagined having. Did you know that you can take hundreds of courses from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology? Did you know that you can take hundreds of their courses online for free? Did you know, I saw a list the other day of a whole series of classes you could take online for free that would give you the equivalent of a Bachelor of Science in Computers Programming, I believe it was. I spent about 3 minutes with a Google search earlier this week and ran across a site called edx.org. And I'm giving you that name because some of you ought to check it out. edx.org. edx.org. Where you can choose from 516 courses from some of the world's greatest universities. And again, take them for free. Everything from programming to conversational English to entrepreneurship to the fundamentals of neuroscience. For free! And I just ask you what you're going to do in this kind of world with this biblical command. Get wisdom. Get understanding, and this biblical example, bring my scrolls, especially the parchments. I know what some of you are thinking. There's a difference, Kent, between education, between the pursuit of formal education or online courses or regular visits to the library or Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. There's a difference between education as this world knows it and getting wisdom and understanding as the scriptures speak of. Believe me, I know that. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. But I'm also convinced, as people who occupy Christian liberal arts universities like to say, I'm also convinced all truth is God's truth. And I don't have any doubt But that expanding my understanding of geometry or ancient literature or world history or computer programming or nursing or dance or medieval monasteries can, if I'm not living a compartmentalized life where I stick my faith in one box and everything else in another, I don't have any doubts but that any and all the learning I pursue can grow my understanding of the wisdom of who God is and what He is doing in my world when I keep my life submitted to Him and under the covering of His Word. And I'm daring you today, I am daring you to dare to pursue some learning. Maybe especially where you haven't before. Maybe in ways that just don't conform to what you already are so sure you know. Maybe in ways that stretch and redefine, that expand your understanding of this majestic God we serve. I'm daring you to tie yourself to the attitude of the Apostle Paul when his request was, when you come, bring my scrolls and especially the parchments, because you get an understanding of what it means to be a disciple, a learner of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Savior, my inclination is to pray, grow us up in you. But I don't want to pray as if in this case the work and the responsibility were only yours. I want to acknowledge that it's ours as well. I want to acknowledge that like the culture you sought to establish in the people of Israel, like Joshua preparing to lead your people into Canaan, like Solomon longing to impart wisdom to others, like Paul preparing for whatever the next day held, we have responsibility to be learners as well. I want to recognize that biblical stewardship demands a lifetime of learning, that current world-shaping realities demand a lifetime of learning, that the never-ending wonder of who you are and the abundance of your grace towards us expressed in Jesus Christ demands a lifetime of learning. And so I pray that as you draw us to a deeper, greater, broader knowledge of not just who you are, but of this world you have formed for us, and called us to partner with you to see its full redemption, I pray that we would respond to the opportunities that are ours with grateful, eager hearts, ready to take hold of everything you'd show us, ready to take hold of everything you'd teach us, however you choose to do so. May we truly be disciples, learners, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the daily advance of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I'm praying this in Christ's glorious name. Savior, I speak a word of blessing over this people and especially these graduates we're celebrating today. May your grace continue to be ours in abundance. May we be strengthened by your hand. May our lives serve as testimony to your goodness. May our hope be found in the promise of our eternity with you, testified to by your life, your death, your resurrection, your exaltation as Lord over all. I pray it all in Jesus' strong name. And all God's people said, Amen. Now you go in the grace and fullness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.